Tonight, you know, the book of Psalm is, if you'll read through the book of Psalms and through the book of Proverbs and through the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll probably be the best Christian you ever met. You probably will. And these books are not there just to quote at a funeral. They're not just there just to make somebody feel better. They're the Word of God. Every word in the book of Psalms is the Word of God. Amen. And that's why we ought to read it. But people seem to ignore Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Don't do that. Read them. Read them. And here's what you do in Psalms. When you're reading through Psalms and something jumps out at you, that's the Lord trying to tell you something. Don't make yourself read the whole chapter just because it's there. If something comes up, stick there. Stick there. Read it. Amen. Research it. Look for other verses on that subject. And then ask the Lord what He's trying to show you. See, this is not the newspaper where you just read through because it's there and you want to finish it. It's not a biography that you just want to read through because you want the information. This is the living Word of God. And when you read this, remember, God is speaking. As you read this, God is speaking. Jesus was the living Word. Everything God wanted us to know was in Jesus. Yes. He said it. And this is the written Word. Everything God wants us to know is written down in this book. Now, this ain't everything God knows.
That's right.
But it's everything God wants us to know about Him and His works and His ways and His will. And so, if you're going to find God, you're going to have to find Him through this book. And you ask the Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and to lead you as you study this book. And I promise you, before you read, just stop and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. And as you begin to read this, especially in Psalms, things will just jump out at you. And so tonight, that's one of those things as I was reading through Psalms, one thing that jumped out at me, okay? Psalm 84, we're just going to read three verses, verse 5, 6, and 7. Psalm 84, verse 5, 6, and 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca made it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God. Oh, look here. He says, go on to verse 8. Oh, Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Now, I just want to show you just about three little things here, and I'll let you go home. Did you notice it's getting darker earlier? The seasons are... don't you hate that?
Yes.
Didn't you like it when it stayed daylight till 9 o'clock and you could feed the cows and bring in the hay and milk the chickens and... So I'm gonna try to get you out of here pretty quick, okay? I'm trying not to hold you long. That's the same thing that, what's his name, the little short guy? Oh, he was a movie star. Mickey Rooney said to his seventh wife, I won't keep you long. He was married seven times. Amen. Now, I want you to notice that word. I want you to notice that word. Verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca made it a well. Now, I want you to think about that word valley, okay? The word valley. The word valley, of course, means a deep place. A deep place. You know, you got a mountaintop here, a mountaintop there, and the valley's always in the bottom. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit about this passage, the Valley of Baca. Now, if you're over 10 years old and you've awoken to your normal senses, well, that ain't till about 30 now. But you know that life has valleys.
Yes.
We have high days, we have low days. As a Christian, the spiritual life of a Christian has valleys. We have high days, we have low days. And it, hey, it'd be a wonderful thing if Christians never had valleys. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Well, that's coming. They call that heaven. There's no valleys in heaven. Amen. But Christians do have valleys. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have hard places. Amen. I don't know if somebody told you that Christian life's easy. You just got in a battle when you got saved. Amen. Amen. But always remember, this ain't heaven. You're still on planet Earth. Amen. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it promise that we will not have hard times or bad days or valleys. Nowhere. They're part of life. And if we'll apply biblical principles to our hard times, our valleys, we can get through them pretty good.
Yeah.
We can get through them pretty good. But the people that don't know what the Bible says, they don't read the Bible, maybe they're not a believer, when they go through a valley, they're all alone. They're all alone. And of course, the first psalm you think of is Psalm 23, and yea, though I go through the valley of death. And so we know we've got somebody that goes with us through our valleys. We don't have to do it by ourselves. Now, I'd like to say since I've been saved, I haven't had a low place in my spiritual life. I'd be lying.
Yeah.
And if you said that, you'd be lying too.
Yes.
We've had low places in our spiritual life. Amen. And not just our physical life. We've had low places in our spiritual life too. When we needed revival, when we needed a touch from God, when we needed some light, when we needed God to look down there in that valley and tell us, you're not alone, I'm with you. Amen. Everybody has those. But thank God, we know the lily of the valley.
Amen.
I know the lily of the valley. Now I know there's some pretty flowers growing in the valley, but the lily is the prettiest flower. And we know the lily of the valley. Now, every valley, every hard spot, every hard time in the believer's life has value.
Yes.
It has value. Now, if you work, physical work, you get sore. You ever notice that? You get sore. Especially after you get old, you sit around all the time, you know, and then you get out there and try to do something like you were 19. The next morning you wake up and you're just, oh man, you know, amen. Y'all can, most of you old people in here, you can relate to that. You young ones can too if you ever did any work. But, amen. But see, that pain is useful. That is you building more muscle. That's muscles dividing and multiplying. Not that kind of muscle. I mean real muscle. And so the valleys, the hard times, are really the times that we encounter difficulties. I read a little bit about that valley of Baca, and the word from the Hebrew Baca is a word that means weeping, sorrow, or tears. It was a valley in some part of Palestine, somewhere in Israel there, and it was a valley that pilgrims had to go through. If they were coming to Jerusalem, they had to go through from another country. They'd have to go through Baca, the valley of sorrow, the valley. It was called that because it was a hard place to maneuver. It was a hard place to walk. It was a hard place to get through. And so in verse 6, he says, well, let's go back to verse 5 first. It says, blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now that's in the Lord. Our strength's in the Lord. Amen. That's where our help comes from. The Bible says it comes from the Lord. And so therefore, blessed is the person whose strength is in the Lord. He's the one leading us. He's the one guiding us. He's the one delivering us. Now, in the Valley of Baca, they said there was always difficulty. It was not an easy trip. The early settlers in America, when they left the East Coast. They'd go over the Appalachian Mountains. And if they went at the wrong time of year, they'd get snowed in and freeze to death and all kinds of stuff. It was a hard trip to go over there. And they had to find the right valleys to go through so that they could, there wasn't a river or something to stop them there. And this was a place like that. It was a place of difficulty, the Valley of Baca. Now, I believe we could use that word for our valleys. Maybe you're having a physical valley. Maybe you got an infirmity. Maybe you're trying to, you're battling with your eyesight or high blood pressure or something like that, and you're battling with that, and you're praying, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening, and you're down in the valley. Well, listen, he's still there with you.
Yes, sir.
He hadn't left you. He hadn't forsook you. And whatever you're going through during this time, he can use it. He uses those infirmities and those hard times in order to strengthen us. And later, we have the strength to go through something even worse, you know.
Yes, sir.
And as we get older, we really need that. We need to, know there are places of suffering in the Christian life.
Amen.
On the way to heaven, there's places of suffering. Jesus said, they hated you, they'll hate me.
Yes.
Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
Yes.
Jesus said, they killed me, they'll kill you. Amen?
Amen?
Now we live in America, we don't see much of that stuff, but boy, the other countries, it's real bad right now.
Yeah.
And it would be in America except by the grace of God.
Amen?
Amen? Now, so, those hills and those mountains, they had deep places, you know, and that one deep place was the hardest place to get through. Now, a lot of times Christians will have a valley in their life. They'll have a valley, and it's a hard time, and they'll get in that valley, and they don't look up. The sun's still there. The Son of God's still there. Heaven's still there. They still have their salvation. They're just going through a hard place. But they refuse to look up, and they get stuck in the valley. And they don't go any farther. Amen?
Amen.
Paul asked a group of believers, said, what doth hinder you?
Yeah.
What is it that hinders you? What has Satan done down in that valley to stop you from moving forward? You know.
Yeah.
Now, so, number one, John 16:33 says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Now, when I first got saved, it was weeks before I realized that that it wasn't going to be sunshine and roses all the time. they didn't tell me I'd still have valleys, you know. But listen, in this world, Jesus said it, ye shall have tribulation. Now, even though we're saved, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we've got a place reserved in heaven. The devil can't stop it. The world can't stop it. Nothing can stop us from getting to heaven. But going through this old world, when we have hard times, just remember, Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Doesn't matter what your income is. Why is it the world thinks the more money you got, the less trouble you're going to have? You know what you get when you get a lot of money? Friends. And their trouble. Don't tell them you got money. Amen. When they come over to visit with you, just break out a piece of stale bread and a piece of cheese. Listen, valleys are inevitable. There's no way to get without leaving this world not to have hard times. There's no, it's appointed unto man once to die. And we're going to lose loved ones. We're all going to lose loved ones. And that's a valley to go through. We have to go through that valley. Boy, I've lost four sisters. I've lost four brothers. And my mama's gone on to heaven. And none of those were easy. None of them. All those were valleys I had to go through. But the good news is he went with me.
Yes.
And I felt his presence. I felt his power the whole time in those valley of the shadow of death. He was there with me. Amen.
Amen.
And we've probably all been through that. Don't let the devil lie to you. See, if you think that everything's going to be perfect from now to heaven, you're going to be shocked when you end up in Baca, the valley.
Yeah.
And there's obstacles now. And there's hard times. You didn't think you was going to have any more hard times. Well, you don't want to be that way. Did you know that, I thought about this, did you know that a valley is impartial? That valley doesn't care who you are. That valley don't care who you are. It doesn't care how much money you got. It doesn't care who your friends or your family. It doesn't care about your pedigree. It doesn't care about your education. That hard time, that valley, listen, it's impartial. It doesn't care if you're black or you're white or you're polka dotted or red or yellow. All valleys, hey, doesn't matter. Everybody goes through them. We live in a generation now that thinks they're not supposed to have any valleys.
Right.
And when they have a valley, they think they're a victim.
Amen.
That it's my fault they're there. Your fault that they're in the valley. They're having a hard time. And they want to blame it on somebody. No. It's just the world that we live in. You will have tribulation. And it's nobody's fault. Valleys, you ever thought about this? A valley cannot be explained. You ever went up in the mountains, you went through some of those valleys, you know, you looked up in there, and boy, you looked at the mountaintop on this side, and the mountaintop on that side, and you thought, how'd this get here? What made this turn and twist? What put all these big rocks in here, you know? How come there's a river in this valley? There wasn't a river in another valley. Well, you can't explain that. And I can't explain why your trouble and your tribulation and your trial is different than mine. I can't explain. Only God knows that.
That's right.
He knows what's good for us. And if all things work together for the good of God and for those that are called according to His purpose, then He made the valley.
Yes, sir.
And it's for my good. I'll just glorify God and keep trudging on. Amen. Trust in Him. I shouldn't try to explain it. I can't explain it. People come to me and say, Pastor, why am I going through this? And they'll tell me this big long story, and then I'll say, I don't know. I don't know why you're going through that. Well, why did my children do this to me? I don't know. Why did my husband? Why did my wife? Why did my boss man? I have no idea. Only God knows that. It's inexplainable. I can't explain that. I have enough trouble trying to figure out my own valley. And sometimes I'm in a valley because I put myself there. I took the wrong turn.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged though. It's inevitable. They're coming. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to thee.
Yes.
Now, what makes our valleys, our times of trouble so hard and dark is that we can't explain them. We can't explain them. Other than, I won't stay here. God put this valley here for me, and I'm going to learn something from it, and I'm going to go on through.
Amen.
Yes. Whatever happened to perseverance? What ever happened to pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day?
Yes.
Whatever happened to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Whatever happened to that? People want a magic pill. They want a formula. I saw a book one day said, 12 steps to salvation. Everybody wants a formula. I'm glad it didn't take but one step.
Amen.
Amen. I turned to Christ. Amen.
That's right.
That's my step. Turn to Him. That's repentance right there. Another sermon I saw, I can't be saved without repentance. Well, if you turn to Christ, you repented.
Right.
You turn from the world into sin, you turn to Christ. That's repentance. That's a change of mind. I saw another book said 47 ways to get prayers answered. I got one. Call unto me, all ye ends of the earth.
Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. There's only one step. And as you go through that valley, look, I got no formula for you. But God does.
Yes.
Now, I want you to notice this. It said in verse 6, who passing through the valley, Now, that tells me if these people were passing through, they didn't intend on staying there, did they?
That's huge.
I mean, that's so simple.
Yeah, it's right there.
They were passing through the valley. They knew they weren't staying there. This is a piece of land out here, this land. You can go out here tonight and see all the stars and the moon. It's a good spot. You can see a lot of the sky, the horizon way over there, way over there, way over there. At my house, I got a little old acre, and I got trees on this side, and I got trees on this side, and I got trees back there, and I got trees back there. So the sun doesn't hit my deck till about 10 o'clock. The sun don't come up at my house till 10 o'clock. But my wife won't let me stay in the bed that long. The first bird that chirps, she's up out of the bed. First bird, I'm telling you, she's up with the birds. And now we're sleeping with the windows open. And did you know there's a bird starts chirping about 4:30 every morning? The sun ain't nowhere in sight. If I had a gun, I'd shoot him. But I want you to notice that. Who passing through the valley? Now, some of us have a tendency to get stuck there. Some carry their tent with them, just stake out a tent right there in the valley. Some people like it. You can say amen, they're not here. Some people like to be in the valley. They wallow in their misery. And they want you to waller. From South Carolina, we say waller. They want you to waller with them. Now, God bless you if you're in the valley. I love you. And I'll come down and help you through it, but I can't get through it with you. God, I have to bring you through that. But what you have to make up your mind, I'm not here to stay.
Right. Yes.
I'm not driving down no stake. I'm not putting up a tent. This is temporary. I feel bad today. I'm going to feel better tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm hurt today. I'm going to be getting over it tomorrow.
Yes,
hey, they've let me down today, but tomorrow's a new day. Amen. Yes. Every day's new with God. Every day's a new beginning. Every day's a new start. I failed today, but I'm getting up. I'm not staying down here. I'm getting up. I'm going to keep going. I'm not quitting. I don't care what they say about my fall. I don't care how they criticize me and say, well, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. They can get in that valley if they want to and pick up all them sticks, but I'm going to be gone when they get there. I'm not staying there. He said they were passing through. They had a destination that they expected to get to. Now, I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And I'm not going to live in hell on earth on my way there. I'll go through the valley, but I'm not staying there. I refuse to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'll get up every morning, I'll walk out my driveway, and I'll look up at the sky, and I'll say, thank God I can still see today. It's a new day. And I'll breathe, and I'll say, whoo, thank God I can still breathe today. Amen. Amen. And I'll listen. I'll say, thank God I can hear that bird chirping this morning. Amen. And I'll walk. I'll say, thank God I can still walk today. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say, thank God I still got a father in heaven. Amen. I still got a brother, and he sticks closer than any brother I've ever had. His name's Jesus. Amen. I'm not staying there. I'm not going to do it. Now, you looking at me and my wife sitting back there, she'll tell you, I get down in the dumps, and I get depressed, and I get discouraged. But I ain't gonna stay there. I'm not gonna do it. I was raised like that. Negative, 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 all the time. You can't do that. You're stupid. You're dumb. You're not smart enough for that. Why don't you quit trying to do things like that and be who you are? You know, you're just one of us, you know, and all that stuff. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And so they looked for a destination. They didn't get stuck. They didn't get distracted. They didn't forget that where they were going. They just, hey, listen, they didn't forget they were just passing through. I love that old hymn that says something about a pilgrim. I'm just a passing through. They were a poor wandering stranger. Amen. They were in a land that was foreign to them. They were looking for a land whose builder and maker is God, and they weren't going to stay in that hole in the ground. Amen. Amen. I like that. That's enough to make a Methodist shout right there. That's enough to make a Presbyterian and raise his hand. Amen. Amen. Ain't that enough to make a Presbyterian raise his hand? Used to be one. On up to it. Amen. Amen. That'll make it. Of course, it'll get you kicked out of Presbyterian church if you do it, but it'll make you raise your hand. Amen. Don't be distracted. Don't forget where you're going. And look, he knew, these people knew, read again, who were passing through the valley, they knew that that was not their destination. Now let me tell you something. The worst thing this world can do to me is kill me.
Yes.
And then I'm a winner.
Because
I wake up in heaven.
Amen.
So as the psalmist said, why should I fear man?
Right.
And what can he do to me? Nothing. So I'm not getting distracted. I'll keep reading my Bible. I'll keep praying. I'll keep believing. I'll keep witnessing. I'll keep going to church. I'll keep singing old-fashioned hymns. I'll keep praising God. If nobody else does, I'll do it myself. Amen.
Amen.
Every once in a while I get to preaching, I have to stop and say amen to myself. Amen, preacher, go ahead. You know, I have to amen myself, Brother Allen, sometime to go to sleep. But I'm not quitting. I'm not getting distracted. And then I want you to notice this, and I'm just about through. Look at the second part of verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. Make it a well. Did you notice that these people that found themselves in the valley of hard times and valley of hardship, they did something that people don't usually do. They stopped and dug a well. They stopped and dug a well in a hard place. Did you know that's our Christian duty? In this world, people, by building them bridges so that when they come our way, they'll know what to do.
Amen.
Our children, you know what we should do with our children? And of course, most of our children are grown. But our children, we go through a valley, a hard place, a hard time, and we ought to let them see how God gets us through that.
Amen.
And we ought to tell them that God did that.
Yes.
And we ought to give God the glory. You know what that's doing? That's digging them a well so when they get in that valley, they can take a drink of what we told them.
Yes.
Amen?
Sure. Yes, sir.
That's our duty. And these people saw a hard place and they thought it was their duty to dig a well for the next one who came through the valley.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
Sure is.
I read this story about this pioneer. He was crossing the Appalachian Mountains and he came to a big crevice and he figured out, went down, went over to the other side, and while he was there, he stopped and built a bridge. And this guy that lived close to it saw him, said, "Sir, why are you building that bridge? You're already across the hole." He said, "I'm doing this for the next traveler." Amen.
Yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to do. We get in that valley, we want to do things that will help somebody else. Instead of thinking all about us. That's the problem, is us, you know. And so in Psalm 84, they found themselves in a valley and they did something people don't usually do. They dug a well. The water was scarce there, they say. And, we're supposed to find ways to help people survive their hard times. You know, it's strange. Listen to this. Listen. I want you to pay attention. Listen to me. It's strange how church members want everybody in their church to show up at the wake when their loved one dies. But they never go to one. You ever notice that? It's strange how church members expect everybody in church to be at the funeral of their loved one. But they'd never go to the funeral of a loved one. I didn't get too close to you, did I? I didn't. You see, what we'll do when we're going through our funeral, we'll prepare these other people for their going through a funeral. And when they're going through a funeral, we ought to be there to help them so they can prepare their loved ones for when they go to a funeral. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When somebody's sick, it's strange whenever we get sick, we think everybody's supposed to send us a card, everybody's supposed to call us, everybody's supposed to come see us. But most church members, when another church member gets sick, they don't send a card. They don't call. And Lord knows they don't go visit. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
You see, when we're in the valley and we're sick, we ought to be teaching our children and our family how to treat people when they're sick.
Amen.
Dig a well so when they get sick, they can help somebody else too. I'm going to go on. I can tell that went over like a ton of bricks right there. Listen. They dug their wells by hand. They didn't carry a shovel everywhere they went. They didn't have a backhoe. They didn't have a Kubota. Or what's that other one? The green and yellow one? They didn't have a John Deere. That was their shovel. That was their backhoe. And they dig a well with their bare hands.
Yeah.
That took a lot of work. It takes work to help others through their valley.
Amen.
It's work. It's hard. But you know what? Every one of the Old Testament patriarchs, you look their names up, every one of them dug a well.
Yeah.
I thought about Abraham dug wells everywhere he went. Everywhere Abraham stopped, he dug a well and built an altar.
Yeah.
Everywhere he went. Isaac dug wells. Everywhere he went, he dug wells. Jacob dug a well. And listen, Jacob dug a well that survived for hundreds of years. Did you hear that boy interrupt my preaching?
I did.
Who, y'all know now who drank out of Jacob's well. John chapter 4, that Samaritan woman comes to the well and Jesus is sitting, what does it say? At Jacob's well. Well, that's probably, man, that was 600 years before Jesus was ever born that well was dug. And people had been drinking water out of that well for hundreds of years because Jacob went through a hard time and had to dig a well.
Amen.
And people were blessed because he had a hard time and had to dig a well. Well, I hope when I'm gone, by the way, you won't see it. I got funerals for all of you. I got your funerals planned. But I hope when I'm gone that somebody will look back and say, boy, Brother Ron, he refreshed me when I needed some refreshing.
Amen.
Because he told a story one time about how he needed refreshing and how somebody refreshed him.
Yes.
Somebody blessed him. And that was a blessing to me. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
The Samaritan woman, she came to that well that Jacob dug with his bare hands. You know what that's called? Hold on. Baptists don't like it. It's a four-letter word. Work. Whatever happened to that old song? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be called away home. James said, show me your faith, I will show you my works. Because faith without works is dead.
Right.
Now that doesn't mean works for salvation.
Right.
It means doing something for others for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Amen.
There are a lot of valleys that the people of God had. But there wasn't a lot of wells. There wasn't a lot of wells. It was a barren place. You've been to Israel, haven't you? Dirt and rocks. Looks like Mars or something. A barren place. A barren place. It's not like around here. We go out in the yard and dig for flour and hit water. You know. Now the valleys were hard for them, and they had to dig out a blessing out of barrenness. And here you and I are blessed physically, financially, materially, and spiritually we're blessed. And we don't have to dig much to get a blessing.
Amen.
Why? Because somebody went before us and did the work.
Amen.
There wouldn't be an America today if somebody had not went before us and did the work. Now, there wouldn't be a church in this county right here today if people had not went ahead of us and started the work before we got here. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know we're drinking out of those spiritual wells that people that went before us dug?
Yes. Thank you.
I heard the gospel when I was 21 years old. Preacher Hubert Falkenberry, Eastside Baptist Church. And that day I went in there, and you know what he did? He went down in his well. He went down in his well. And the Holy Ghost of God brought up water out of his well and poured it on me. And poured it on me. A thirsty soul. Looking for truth. Didn't know where it was at. Wanted to know the truth. Wanted to know the things like that. And he would reach down in his well. And by the way, he had a hard life. He didn't have an easy life. Even as a pastor, he had a hard life. Had a whole lot of bad things happen to him. And yet, all that, he took it and used it for my good. And that Holy Spirit just brought up living water out of his mouth and poured it on us. There's a lot of people went before. Some of y'all had a mom and daddy did it for you. Some of you had grandparents that did it for you. Some of you might have had a husband or a wife that did it for you. And they dug those wells for you so you could get what you needed in Christ. They lost jobs over their faith. They lost raises over their faith. They lost friends over their faith. They went through valleys of sickness and despair and pain, and God brought them out the other side by faith. He healed them and he raised them up, and then you benefited from what they did.
Yes.
We don't need to leave this world barren. We need to dig some wells so that those that come after us can get a drink of spiritual water, the living water. Now, Here's what I thought. It's not important what you go through. The valley you go through is not important. It's what you leave behind that's important. It's how you come out of the valley is what's important. Now, alright, why do we have valleys? And I quit. For the glory of God.
Amen.
For the glory of God, we go through valleys, and people say, I don't know how you do it, and you say, God did it.
Amen.
And people say, I don't know how you endure this, and you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We go through valleys for growth. It strengthens us. It strengthens us. It makes us better Christians.
Amen.
When we come out the other side. We go through valley for the good of others so that they'll know what to do when they get in their valley. You know why my life was almost ruined growing up? I didn't know anybody that knew God. And when those people I knew, even my family members, when they went through a valley, it was just suffering. It was all suffering. It was all agony. It was all despair. It was all heartache. It was all heartbreak. There was no end. And then eventually they just trudge on through, but they didn't learn anything from it. Because they didn't get a spiritual drink while they were there. All they got was a dry and thirsty land. And thank God one day he reached down and he took me out of that mess. And he put me up on the top of the mountain for a little while. He saved me. He established my going forward. He set my feet on the solid rock. He brought me up out of that miry clay and he put me on that solid rock and he began to guide me. And then he fed me and he nourished me and he strengthened me. And then when I went through the valley, it was not like everybody I knew growing up that went through the valley. I knew the light was at the other end. And it wasn't going to kill me. I knew this is not going to kill me and I need to learn something while I'm here because God put this valley here for me. You say, preacher, do you agree with all these things you've had to go through? No, sir. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have told God to do that to me. Amen. Me and God don't always agree.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to trust him whatever he does.
That's right.
And I wouldn't have picked some of those valleys out for me. I like the mountaintops. Amen. Up there where the sky is blue and the air is clear. Amen. But there's old Donnie Rambo used to sing a song. He picked out this valley for me. You remember that song? Would you learn that song? Can you learn that song? If you can't, there's Donnie's Junior right there. She can learn it. But God might have a valley for us this week, but you know what? It might be rough, but if we'll look for the lily of the valley, he'll always be there. And if we'll look for the water, he'll give us what we need to drink. And then if we'll leave a little behind, others can make it through the valley too. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired word. Lord, there's some folks in our church tonight going through some things. I don't mean these in here. I'm sure these are too. But Lord, there's some that's in a dark valley. And Lord, if you don't bring them out, how are you going to get the glory if you don't bring them out, Lord? Please, shine that light down there in that darkness. Bring water out of the rock and give them some spiritual drink and bring them on through that valley. For their sake, for Jesus' sake, for others' sake, and for your glory. And then one day we'll get down the road and we'll look back on it and we'll say it wasn't all that bad after all. Because he was with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
403.